discussion of amendment to chapter 21, signs, 12, non-residential zoning district sign regulations.
Yes, you'll remember at your last meeting, you approved the idea that non-residential mixed-use building 12 stories or taller are now allowed to place signage on the 12th story or above of the building, irrespective of the location on the building. Meaning the wall signs no longer have to be placed facing the street from which the building takes ingress and egress. Between the first and second reading of that ordinance, we were approached by a member of the community business that chose to relocate the perimeter area of a building smaller than 12 stories, which sought the same courtesy as the larger high-rise buildings. They have what is currently a double frontage building, and they wanted to place their frontage on another wall, not on the wall that faces the main street. So we added the amendment between first and second reading that removed the 12-story component. That failed to carry at your last meeting. Instead, the 12-story component does exist now today, which is the text amendment. But the idea is, if it were at your pleasure, we could reinitiate the talks again through community council and forward to remove the location requirement for a wall sign for a commercial, non-residential, or a commercial or a mixed-use building.
Robert?
Yeah, I asked for us to put this back on the agenda because, guys, I want to encourage us not to send this to community council. And here's my rationale. First of all, what I really would like to do is to refer back to the sign committee. You know, we're going to, I don't want us to be getting these things in onesies and twosies. And we're going to have the sign committee give us a revision, right? I mean, there's a version of the sign ordinance that's coming through the process that we're going to get next month, next meeting.
Not to get off on a tangent, yeah. But it's been delayed. We've had some new information from some legal counsel that I want to implement into the document and to process all that. I'm not going to be able to get to Karen by Wednesday, so it's going to be delayed.
But I think there's, in my view, that ordinance doesn't have the provisions it needs to accommodate the PCID. And so I think what we're going to see is for that ordinance to go back for more, that ordinance to go back for more work. And what I'd suggest is that this go in there instead of coming back in the midst of between us sending it back and this coming in together. I'd rather do it all together. I'd also like to suggest if there's concurrence on the council. I think that I'm okay with this if we were to restrict it to the perimeter center area. I don't think I want people being able to put signs on any side of their building outside of that area. I have real heartburn over the idea that folks elsewhere might be doing this. So what I'd also like to ask is, are we okay directing staff to start the process of establishing an overlay district for the perimeter center? And to begin to look at how we would define a PCID overlay district so that we could begin to set some rules up that would apply only, particularly sign rules, that would apply only in their area. So that was the reason I brought this up. One, I don't want this going to community council. I'd rather it go to the sign committee. And two, do we want to be thinking about allowing some things in the perimeter center area that we don't allow elsewhere? And if we're going to do that, I think the only legal vehicle to do that is to create an overlay district.
All right, let me ask this, Robert. I see Bill Robinson. I'll take executive privilege here. Ask Bill, put you on the spot for a minute. Give us just an update on the sign ordinance itself. I know it's gone to the PCID for a cursory review. Now, what Robert's speaking about is different, but it just did.
It went to Yvonne, who turned it over to Donna Morgan, and she sent it out to many of her stakeholders. And she got it back and notified me last week that they had, in essence, had no reply, no changes that they required. And then, of course, there's been some other talk about did that represent the business owners as opposed to the property owners and everything. But to address the points you're talking about, what Robert's talking about, I discussed this with Brian. Right now, we think of overlay districts as the one in Dudley Village as it being more restrictive than the city of Warren. Mm-hmm. But Brian says, in fact, you can do it the reverse. You can say it can be less restrictive if you want to write the the rules that way. So if you went to the PCID, thinking forward on this, if you set up an overlay district in the PCID and you wanted to make it less restrictive than your sign ordinance for the city, you could then be comfortable about doing things for the rest of the city that it'd be more restrictive than what you put over further off from the center area. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing of it is, and I have not seen the document, but Donna Morgan says, Yvonne says, excuse me, one of the, said that they do have a document that would be a good vehicle to start with to create a PCID for, create an overlay district for the Primer Center area, the PCID area. I have not seen it, so I don't know that that's that, but I trust that she's telling me that.
Right, so Bill, would you think your committee would be fine with taking this, Robert, this your suggestion is that the sign committee expand or at least start exploring that piece or what?
Well, actually, the suggestion was that we take this particular provision and refer it to the sign committee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the other question was, do we want to direct staff to start working on creating an overlay district for the PCID with the idea that we might set different standards for signs in that district?
Then,
just a thought on that. You know, when we're going through the comprehensive land use plan, and, you know, we've got these nodes and character areas and stuff. You know, and one of the first areas we talked about was the PCID as a node in a character area. And I think that's one of the things, you know, that we should probably maybe take a look at what we come up with the COLT, on the COLT plan, comprehensive land use plan, whatever you want to call it, and what we come up with the end result for the PCID as their node and character area, and then maybe fold this in. I don't know if we're getting the cart ahead of the horse here or not, but, you know, we're going to be looking at that from the broad spectrum of the PCID, and that will somewhat, I think, determine what we're going to ask if we go to an overlay district. I think they're kind of part and partial, maybe to the same. One will rely on the other one. That's just my thought on that. Sure, they're a little bit different, I think. You got to be careful of treating people different across the spectrum of the city. And one of the things I would like to just go one step further on this sign committee is I'm getting emails now from the businesses, you know, around Walmart and places, and also in the village about places, you know, the sign. You've got some various opinions about the way some of these folks are very rational people. And I think maybe we're going to have to revisit this whole sign business a little bit to take a look to see if there's some compromises here that we can, you know, both sides can get together and we can meet in the middle somewhere where we're not here. You know, one person said, you know, I've been in the same business for years and I'm over here and all of a sudden now I've got signs that I've got to move. And so I think that's one of the things we really have to take a look at. We don't want this, as I know that, coin word to look like Roswell Road. But on the other hand, we don't want to curtail our businesses to the extent that we're hurting them, and number two, they may have to mosey on and move somewhere else.
All right, and with that, Denny, let me segment to ask staff to review the overlay, the current overlay sign ordinance. I know there are a few pieces in there like block lettering. And if y'all could go ahead and do and I talked to Howard about this earlier, I think, do a review and a suggestion back just on a first pass. If there's some stuff in there that by all appearances is kind of like the 30-foot sign, if something's jumping out, I think we all realize we're always going to have signs as one of those issues, right? There's always going to be one side or the other. I will point out that Denny, and again, I don't know the particulars, but the overlay that we adopted has been in place for 6 years, and the DHA had funded it by tune of like $18,000. Urban Collage came in and did it, and the CAB lawyers went through it with a fine-tuned comb, and it took 18 months or 2 years to go through the process. So the interesting part is that has been in place for quite a while. So most of the signs that we see down there, it takes a while to trickle down. There shouldn't be anybody getting fined
that is either hadn't put up a sign without a permit, or if not, it, you know, it's a new sign. But I don't know the particulars. I'll just throw that out for for food for thought.
And I would just throw out that, that, you know, along with the staff, I would say that, you know, the overlay committee with Bill was on and everything, they should probably be partial to the staff maybe reviewing that a little bit.
Yeah, Bill can be on. And Bill, if you want to step back up, from what I remember, you did not tackle the overlay sign ordinance. Yay, nay.
When we did the DBOD?
Yeah, DBOD, right.
We did not touch the signage. That was because the billboard issue was before us, and so we were directed with good reason. In fact, Brian was on the committee to not touch the sign portion. And there is a sentence in there that I talked to Brian about that needs to come out. But we couldn't have taken it out if we wanted to, or we would have gotten in legal trouble.
So, yeah, absolutely. So if you would, Howard and Warren, just, and then Bill, I mean, you work together and come back to us, and then again see if things are popping out, so at least we can get. And with that review, Brian, can you speak? I mean, I guess from this point forward, from the ticket perspective, or from the.
Well, are you requesting an initiation of potential amendment?
Yes.
Well, then typically, if there's an actual amendment in process in the code, typically we won't do enforcement at that point, because we don't know how the end product is going to end up. So we typically delay enforcement until we see the final product, and then we enforce the final product.
Well, okay, makes sense.
Good advice.
Yeah. All right, Howard.
What is your expectation for a timeline for that? Because in all fairness, I would like to meet with Mr. Robinson, his task force, and anybody else who's interested. Maybe have a couple of meetings before we issue this in the next cycle.
Yeah.
So this might not actually start at the community council process until perhaps January or February. Probably more like
that. Get it done right. Let's get it done right. We're more interested in timelines, right?
And meet back here probably December 24th, you think?
Yeah, you'll be here. Ken, I'll be right over. Hold your breath while
I'm right.
Robert, be here.
I had a question, because a lot of the reason that we're even discussing this is to increase visibility from 285, right?
This one came up.
This is AJC, right. And they're not visible from 285.
Okay.
Yeah, AJC, and then also general philosophical standpoint.
Right.
The regulation doesn't make sense to us, because you've got a total amount of sign that you're allowed, so we don't really necessarily have a preference to put it on this wall versus this wall, because there are certain circumstances where it makes sense to have it on multiple walls.
And that was part of your text change too, if I remember right. It wasn't just what stays here, but also splitting it up from one to multiple, as long as it didn't exceed.
As long as it doesn't exceed the total allotment of sign space, then they can put it on multiple sides.
Okay, and that's not spelled out in this memo, though.
But that was an unintended consequence, and not a negative consequence. That we don't regulate where the signage is located or how many signs you place on the building are regulated as to the maximum square footage.
Okay, but the memos is talking about height, right?
The one impetus for coming back right now, talk about this right now,
got it.
Is the height above grade.
Okay, yep, I got you.
But to answer your question a little more clearly, the idea of the view shed question has really been asked by what was approved at the last meeting. That was question that was answered by allowing signs on the 12th story or higher on any face. So that's the 285 question, as well as just about anywhere in the perimeter.
Okay, Dan.
I think if we're going to be changing the PCID overlay district, part of that should be to include Sandy Springs in that discussion, because one of the challenges I think that PCID has is having something that they can use for all sectors of PCID. And I think if we could coordinate and consolidate and collaborate with Sandy Springs and even the DeKalb County non-incorporated section of that, to come up with a plan that would encompass not only Dunwoody but Sandy Springs and that, but that would be the right thing to do.
Sure.
So that we don't have three different, you know, styles there.
No doubt, yeah. And I think the result, too, I mean, that's a great point, is if you look at what the PCID has done through the funding, is that you do see consistency, and then an overlay could help force a developer, if you're gonna turn some land, that instead of the taxpayers paying for that 12 foot, 10 foot sidewalk and the lamppost, that you as a developer, you know, that's a
And then you're right on the signage side.
I think we've got a real challenge there already with the branding thing, trying to incorporate what they've done in branding into our final branding. Sure. That's going to be a tough thing to do other than the colors.
Right. Warren.
Just to update you, too, I agree wholeheartedly with Councilman Ross, and Sandy Springs is open to that. Jennifer had initiated some discussions months ago with their planning staff to do just that, so I think that's something that we need to follow up on and continue those discussions.
Right.
It makes total sense.
Sure. Yeah.
Just an update. The AJC, I believe, came to us for a sign issue. Are we in negotiations or talking to them and tell them where we're at? I mean, this sounds like it's going to be a long process.
Right.
Are they going to go through
I just saw the emails today. What they've been advised that the ordinance did not pass in the format they had desired. They're going to be requesting a variance.
Okay.
To try and get a hardship approval from the BZA.
Correct. And that's what's appropriate. If somebody does want this, absolutely. In the meantime, they can come and get a variance.
Yeah.
That's what happens in a 20-year sublease.
Each signs above, you can put more than one sign up, but the square footage of the accumulative signs cannot be above what the square footage was before.
Right.
Correct? If you're allowed to have 500 square feet, you could have one 500 square foot sign, you'd have five 100 square foot signs. But you can't have six 100 square foot signs
I looked for that. Robert, did you find it?
It's in chapter 21.
It is already in chapter 21. It's not many of the words that
couldn't find it.
All right,
not amend that from the last text amendment. That never changed.
Okay. Any other talk, discussion about this?
So what are we doing with an overlay? Are we going to investigate one?
Yeah, they're going to...
talking about it?
Yeah. All right, we're good. Thank you, Mr. Howard.